listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
Hey, welcome back again this week. We're in part two of understanding the power and purpose of prayer. And this series is going to help you a lot because, you know, when you talk to most believers about prayer, it's funny, as I've traveled, most people don't even know that there are many different types of prayer, which, by the way, is what we're going to cover in tonight's video. But most people think just prayer is prayer and just all prayers lumped together. I laugh still hearing Brother Hagin tell the story that he was going to teach on the different types of prayer. And a pastor came up to him and said, "Well, Brother Hagin, prayer is prayer, isn't it?" And he said, "Yep, prayer is prayer and sports is sports, but they're not all played by the same rules." And he just told the guy, you know, you try to play basketball with football rules and it won't work. And the same is true about prayer. And so I'm glad you're back again tonight. This is going to be something that I want you to take notes on. Get these things in your spirit and then expect that as you put them into practice in your own life, in your family, business, ministry, whatever, expect to see answers quickly come back to your prayers. You know, God doesn't just want us to pray for the sake of praying. He wants us to pray for multiple reasons. Number one, it shows our dependence upon Him. It shows our faith, but He enjoys answering our prayers. God enjoys answering your prayers. In fact, did you know the Bible says in John chapter 16, He instructs us, Christ, He instructs us, "Ask and you shall receive." Why? "That your joy may be full." So He wants to fill you with joy by answering your prayers. There's never a time God is not in a position to hear your prayers. He's always listening. The Bible tells us His eyes are always upon the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. So just understand from the outset, God hears every prayer that you pray. And you never have to feel like, well, the heavens are brass. I hear people use that phrase. I don't even know what that means. The heavens are brass, like your prayers are bouncing back at you. No, no. God's not cutting you off. God is listening intently to your prayers. And then He has a desire, a strong desire to answer your prayers. And when you pray, you're showing Him that you believe not only that He's able, but that He's willing to answer your prayers. And so, it's important that you get this in your spirit. Again, I teach this all the time. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No question about that. So if there's truth you don't have regarding prayer, then there may be prayer that doesn't work for you or it's not working properly for you. And I'm believing that tonight's video in particular is going to help you with your prayer life and seeing productivity in your prayer life. And it's going to be very important as we move forward on that. So let's get started with this eight types of prayer. Eight different types of prayer. I'm going to break these down for you. I'm going to show them to you in Scripture, which is going to help you as you step out to pray, because not all prayer is the same. Not all types of prayer are the same, and they shouldn't all be done in the same way. And I'll explain what I mean by that as we move forward through these. But I'm going to give you these different eight different types of prayer. Take notes on these. We'll talk about some of the differences and some of the similarities as we go into prayer. Now, let me say from the outset that even if you did a Google search for types of prayer, you're going to get all different numbers come up in the results. You're going to see blog posts with articles, you know, 12 different types of biblical prayer, 15 types of biblical prayer. You know, there's all these different kinds. I've looked through those too. Back when I first started researching all of this, I read what other people had to write. I will say There are some things that people consider categories of prayer that I'm not going to be covering because I don't believe that it's a type of prayer. For example, number one, some people have listed the prayer of worship. Well, I don't believe that worship's a prayer. I believe worship is worship. I believe praise is praise and prayer is prayer. So I'm not going to cover, for example, the prayer of praise or the prayer of worship. Another one that I've seen listed a lot that I'm not going to cover is corporate prayer, because you could come together with other believers and pray and still use one of these eight different types of prayer that I'm going to teach you. So whether you're praying alone or whether you're praying with a group of believers at church, you can still engage these different types of prayer that I'm going to cover. And so very important that you see that. So there's certain things that I'm not going to include, but as far as I can see, and there may be more, but these are the eight main types of prayer that are taught in Scripture. Now, another one that I won't really cover because we're living in the New Testament is something, and I'll use a theological word here, the prayer of imprecation. You say, what does that mean? That is like when you saw the Old Testament writers or the Old Testament followers of God begin to pray that God's judgment would fall upon unrighteous people. However, that changed, because when we got into the New Testament, Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies, not to pray that God's judgment would come upon our enemies, but to pray for our enemies, because the Bible says he's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So today I'm not praying that God strikes unbelievers dead. I'm not praying that he strikes sinners dead. No, I'm praying that the gospel will come to them. I'm praying that they would hear the gospel, that faith would arise in their heart, and that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So there is an Old Testament type of prayer, because there was no Jesus, there was no redemption, and wicked people were moving in to try to destroy Israel. And there were prayers simply that God's judgment would come upon the wicked. Jesus gave us a higher way, a better way, the way of love. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And pray for your enemies. Pray for those that spitefully use you. Ask God to save them. Ask God to touch them. So the first prayer that I'm going to cover today is number one, if you're taking notes, the prayer of repentance. This is the first prayer that any person needs to pray. You say, why is that? Well, God answers the prayers of who? The righteous. We've talked about that already. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, I quoted to you a moment ago. The Bible says that God's eyes are upon who? The righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. So there it is. In fact, I'll flip over there and we'll start with that verse of scripture. 1 Peter 3:12. God's eyes, or the eyes of the Lord, are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But keep going. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So that's a big difference. God's eyes are upon us. He's watching over us. His ears are open to our prayers, but not those of the wicked. His face is turned against those who do evil. So I always say this to people, the blessings of God are reserved for the children of God. So before God will hear any other prayer from you, he needs to hear the prayer of repentance, the prayer of repentance. Well, where do we see that? Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 through 10, and then verse 13. We know what the Bible says. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. So there's something you have to pray, something you have to confess in order to receive forgiveness and redemption. We call that, some call it the sinner's prayer. I call it the prayer of salvation. That we lead people in that prayer, confessing. They repent of their sins. They confess Jesus to be Lord of their life, and they believe God raised him up from the dead. How do you know? Well, confession's made unto righteousness. How do you know if somebody believes something unless they say they believe it. Faith without works is dead. Part of what you do to express your faith is you say something. The spirit of faith is released by speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul the Apostle writes that we have the same spirit of faith as it is written. And then in quotes, we believe, therefore we speak. He's quoting that. Then he says, we also believe, just like the ones who wrote that, and so we also speak. So the spirit of faith, we have that same spirit of faith. How's it released? By speaking. So your faith comes out of your mouth. Write that down if you're taking notes. My faith comes out of my mouth. My faith comes out of my mouth. Confession is made unto righteousness. So understand something. The first prayer any person has to pray is the prayer of repentance. The prayer of repentance. And then, of course, even if a believer sins, what does the Bible say? Well, we have 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. I'm sure you know this very well. The Bible says, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there it is. If we confess our sins, so there is a repentance that has to be made. There is a confession, something that has to be prayed. The prayer of repentance, we call it. Some say the sinner's prayer. I say the prayer of salvation. And as we come into the kingdom, then the whole realm of God's blessings are opened up to us after we become a part of the body of Christ. But until then, God's not required to answer the prayers of the wicked. He has no covenant with them. Think about that. God's made no covenant with the wicked. So they can pray all they want for everything. I want your blessings, Lord. Please bless my family. He is not listening to that. And he doesn't have to bless your family. You're not a part of his family. You don't have any covenant with him. But for the children of God, we do have a covenant with him. In fact, we have, according to Hebrews, a better covenant established upon better promises. Thank you, Jesus. A better covenant established upon better promises. Okay? And so number one is the prayer of repentance. Second type of prayer is the prayer of consecration. It's a different type of prayer. The prayer of consecration. That's number two. To consecrate yourself is to set yourself apart for a holy purpose, a holy use. And when we say the prayer of consecration, it's reflected in lyrics of certain worship songs that we have. There's a song that we sang growing up. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Touch my hands and my feet. Touch my heart. Speak through me. If you can use anything. Another one, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. There was an old hymn, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. You can only be blessed and find peace and rest when you yield him your body and soul. So it's consecration. I give my all to you, Lord. Some of the prayers we pray are prayers simply to consecrate ourselves. As we're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, today I dedicate myself to you afresh and anew. Use me for your purpose. I pray you strengthen me to do the work you've called me to do. Lord, if there's anything in me that is prideful or self-focused that would keep me from doing the things you've called me to do and asked me to do, burn those things out by the fire of your Holy Spirit. Today I yield to you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you tell me to say, I'll say it. Think about it. Go with me quickly to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and I'll read you verses 39 through 42. Matthew 26, verses 39 through 42. Look at this. This is Jesus and the disciples praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, starting with verse 39. In fact, let's go back to verse 38. And then he said to them, that's Jesus, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And verse 39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now that's the cup of suffering. He knew what was coming, the cross. Nevertheless, watch this now. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus here praying a prayer of consecration. He doesn't want to go to the cross. Whose flesh wants to be tortured? Whose flesh wants to be crucified? Who wants to be beaten beyond recognition? Nobody. Who wants to be murdered? Nobody. His flesh didn't want to, but what did his spirit say? He said, nevertheless, Lord, not as I will, but as you will. Verse 40, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me for even 1 hour? Look at verse 41. Watch and pray. Why? That you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42, we'll finish here. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Now, can I say, if you've been in church for any period of time, you may have heard people pray and use the phrase, Lord, if it be your will, if it be thy will. Some people pray in the King James because they think it's more holy. Lord, Father, if it be thy will. No, this is the only type of prayer. Now watch this now. This is the only type of prayer that we would, as Jesus did, that we would use the phrase, Lord, if it be your will. If it be your will. We'll say, why is that? Because when you read the Bible, you can ascertain what God's will actually is. We know his will. His word is his will. But we don't know the future. So when God has a plan for our future, I don't know what it is. I never thought in a million years that I'd be the pastor of a church. And here we are. I'm about a year in at this point in my life, pastoring a church that God told me to start. I didn't want to start it. I didn't have a desire. I said, Lord, I'll just do whatever you want me to do. Anything you tell me, I'll do it. Why? I'm a servant. I'm just a servant. I'm not the master. I'm the servant. So the servant receives instructions from the master. So when I give my life to God, I say to him, Lord, my life's not mine. It's yours. Well, he bought me, the Bible says, with a price, by the shedding of his blood. He purchased me. Purchased me. So now I belong to him because he bought me with his blood. I was already dead. I was dead anyway. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. The Bible says I was a slave to sin, and he bought me, brought me out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, and now I'm a servant of the Most High God, and a servant does what they are commanded to do. So my life's not my own. My life's not my own. It belongs to him. Whatever he tells me is what I'll do. That's the prayer of consecration. Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever your will is, if it be your will, I'll do it. Lord, you tell me to pastor a church. You tell me to launch a church. If it be your will, I'll do it. See that? And so I'm giving myself to God, that consecration. I don't know the future, but whatever you want me to do. That's what Jesus was saying. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will. Even when his will is revealed to you, watch that. We just willingly and happily obey whatever he calls us to do, whatever he tells us to do. Willingly and happily obey. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And so we say, Lord, if that's what you want, as soon as he reveals, all right, Lord, if that's what you want, I'm happy to do it. I'm your servant. But you don't take that phrase and apply it to other types of prayer, right? Let's go on, for example, to the next prayer. This would be number three, the prayer of faith. Okay, if I'm praying the prayer of faith, am I supposed to say those same words, Lord, if it be thy will? No. I'm not gonna use that phrase because I know what his will is regarding the prayer of faith. Go with me to James chapter 5. Let's go over there. People pray for healing for other people. And they say, Lord, if it be your will, heal brother so-and-so. Lord, if it be your will, heal our sister who's in the hospital. That's not faith, and that's not how you pray the prayer of faith. That's actually wrong when it comes to praying the prayer of faith. Let's read about the prayer of faith in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Look at this now. The Bible, and in fact, Let's start with verse 13. Now, I'm in James 5. This is verses 13, 14, and 15. James writes, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church." Why? "And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And look at verse 15. "And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven." So here's the question. Do you read that passage and see anywhere where there's a question about whether or not God's going to do the work and heal the one who's sick? No, you don't see any question about it. Not any. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. They will pray the prayer of faith, right? The Bible is very clear, plain about it. They will pray the prayer of faith and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick. That shows us a couple things. Number one, it shows us that it's God's will for people to be healed, or else it would say, "and the Lord might raise them up." The prayer of faith might save the sick, and the Lord might raise them up. No, it doesn't say that. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Just like Jesus, anyone that came to him in faith for healing, he healed them. Apostles, early church, miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere, because it's God's will for people to be healed. You can read through the New Testament. You can read through the Old Testament and see that it's God's will for people to be healed. So we don't have to wonder what his will is regarding healing. His word tells us. So then when we say, "Lord, if it be thy will, heal sister so-and-so." So you're saying you don't know? When you pray that way, are you saying you don't know whether it's God's will to heal them or not? Why would we pray that? Because now it puts us into the double-minded position. Go back four chapters to James 1. James 1, look at this. Starting with verse 6. And we'll finish with verse 8, James 1, 6 through 8. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind." Verse 7, "For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Okay. So understanding here that a person who asks but is double-minded, according to Scripture, shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. So the moment you insert double-mindedness even into your prayers, number one, they're not faith prayers. Number two, that person who inserts that kind of doubt and unbelief shouldn't expect to receive an answer, the Bible says. Not any answer, not anything. So the moment we start to say, "Now, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person." All right, so what do we assume happened if a person doesn't receive their healing? Oh, must not have been God's will to heal that one. It must have been his will to take them on to heaven. No, that's what you assumed because you prayed in such a way that you set the position, "If it be thy will, Lord. Lord, if it be thy will," assuming that sometimes it's not his will to heal people, whereas the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. And I know this isn't a class on healing, but even those who don't believe in healing is for today will use excuses and say, "Well, it seems as though in the New Testament, healing began to fade out as the ministries of the apostles went on and the early church was being formed." And you see scriptures like, for example, Timothy had stomach problems and Paul said, "Drink a little wine with your water." And, you know, there was a man named Trophimus who Paul left him sick in Miletus. Why didn't Paul just heal the man? And that's all arguments from silence. We don't know why those people didn't receive their healings, but it's not because the Bible says that God left them sick or that God wanted them sick. So just because there are sick people doesn't mean it's not God's will to heal. And you start to put doubt and unbelief into people's minds when you say, "Well, Lord, if it be thy will," it's his will. Read the Bible. That would be like saying, "Lord, if it's your will, empower me to live holy and free from sin." Do you think that there's ever a time where it's God's will that you live in sin, that you live in unrighteousness, that you do things that are wicked? No, it's never his will. Just read his Bible. Read this word and you'll see it's never God's will, right? So you can't say the same with sickness. Sickness is wicked. It's evil. It came through sin. So is poverty. So is heaviness and depression. They are opposite of what God's presence provides and procures for your life. Depression's a wicked thing. It was sent from the devil. I'm not saying people that are depressed are wicked. I'm saying the effect on your life itself is wicked. Why? It's the absence of God's presence. You are void of his presence. How do I know? In his presence is fullness of joy. So you never have to wonder, is it God's will that I be in depression? Maybe he's teaching me something. No. Nope. God doesn't have to hurt you to teach you things. So when you see these things, like, for example, people praying, Lord, if it be, that's not the prayer of faith, if it be thy will. That's for the prayer of consecration. Lord, whatever you will for my life. And even when he shows you what it is by the leading of his spirit, you say, Lord, well, if that's it, whatever your will is, let your will be done. But again, here's some prayer rules that you're not going to cross over. If it be your will is reserved for the prayer of consecration, but we would not include it in the prayer of faith. But the prayer of faith, if you're believing for somebody to be healed or set free, delivered, you're going to pray the prayer of faith. You're going to pray over them. You may lay hands on them and pray for them. You may anoint them with oil and pray for them. But the prayer of faith, according to scripture, will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. So the prayer of faith is a specific thing. It's to be done with no doubting in your heart, single-mindedness, and you know already, which is why you're praying, what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Never have to wonder. All right. Let me give you number four. Number four, the prayer of direction. The prayer of or for direction. Now, the Bible says that believers are led by the Spirit of God. There's no question. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. We're very clear on the fact that Christians are led by God's Spirit. And so there are many times in your life that you will pray for supernatural direction. You want to pray for supernatural direction. You don't know where to go. This is separate from the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration is you saying, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. The prayer of consecration is like you laying your life down and saying, I'm yours, God. Do with me whatever you want. But the prayer of direction, God may already know that your heart is that way. Well, here's a servant that I can use. They'll do whatever I tell them to do. But we still need direction from heaven. We still need a clear command. That's why we spend the beginning of every year in fasting and prayer. I'm not going to wander through my year wondering what God wants to do. I want clear direction for my life, for my family, my ministry, my business. So, what am I praying for? I'm praying prayers for direction. That's number four. Prayer for direction. Lord, show me which way to go. Show me. Lead me by your Spirit. Did you know, even in the Old Testament, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Even in the Old Testament, people were praying and asking God for his direction. I use this often because here's a story that you'd think the response should be automatic. Men came, and David's wives, his men's wives, their children, everything they had was at Ziklag, and there was a raid. While he and his men were away, they took his wives, they took his people, took everybody, and literally into bondage, and abducted them, if you will. Here's like basically like the Liam Neeson movie Taken. They took them all, and now everybody's distressed. My wives are gone. My children are gone. My stuff's gone. And they were so angry. David's men were so angry, they spoke of stoning him. We're going to kill our leader for allowing this to happen. You'd think that if your family was abducted and everything was stolen from you, that if you had a band of warriors, let's just go right now and get it back. David said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to inquire from the Lord first. So 1 Samuel 30, and I'll jump down to verse 6. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Yeah, that'll distress you. Because all the people were bitter in soul, for each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Look at verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. Notice David's heart here. I'm not even going to go after my own family. I'm not even going to go after my own children, my own stuff, unless the Lord tells me to. You can talk about stoning me all you want. I'm not doing it. I'm not going until God gives me the word or the direction. That's powerful right there. I'm not going to do it unless he's with me. And God said, go, I'm with you. You shall surely overtake and you shall surely recover all. And he did it. But notice, even in an Old Testament context, David waited on the Lord to hear. I like that because we follow, there's a man of God in Nigeria we follow, Bishop David Oyedepo. He has a phrase for his ministry, for his people. If God did not command us to do something, let it remain undone. If God can't give us something, may we never have it. And if God can't take us somewhere, may we never arrive. That's his prayer. If God doesn't give it to me, may I never have it. If he can't take me there, may I never arrive. If he didn't tell me to do it, let it remain undone. I don't have any interest in doing anything the Lord didn't tell me to do. That is direction. You know what's so powerful about the prayer of direction? Is that literally, when God tells you to do something, then God will empower what he told you to do. You've heard me tell it many times, but you know, when the Lord told us to leave Virginia and come to Florida, I was trying to figure out my natural mind how all that was going to work. I'm just thinking like, Lord, you know, you're bringing me out of a place where I'm perfectly positioned in the middle of the East Coast to be a traveling evangelist, go north, go south, it doesn't matter. I'm centrally located. You're going to move me to the tip of Florida. You know, at that time we had one employee. You know, ministry, it was what it was, but God was taking us to another level. So when I got that instruction as I was praying, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, I was praying for our ministry, and almost as soon as I began to pray, here comes direction. Here comes direction. And as I'm praying, God starts giving me instructions. Move your family to South Florida. All right, makes no sense to me, but I'll call Carolyn, tell her what you're telling me. We're going to do it. Got a truck, packed the house up, left. Came to South Florida, God blessed, and the blessing began. It began. Why? Because the blessing of God that's upon your life is tied to a location that God wants you to be. Always. You know, if Abraham would have just chosen whatever mountain he wanted to sacrifice Isaac, I believe he'd have just sacrificed Isaac. But it was the mountain God showed him. That's the one where the ram was caught up in the thicket. That ram wasn't on the top of every mountain. It was on the top of the mountain God led him to. Watch that now. And so instead of making himself childless, he made himself the father of many nations. Big difference. Huge difference. Well, where was that blessing? The blessing was in the direction, because there's always a location where God blesses you. If you go do your own thing, God doesn't have to bless that. God only pays for what he orders. Not what you order. And so you can come up with your own plans, just like a military guy could. I could join the army and then go come up with my own missions and go do my own thing like I'm some kind of renegade. They're not going to back me up. If I get in trouble, they're not sending troops to come back me up on my own mission I made up on my own. In fact, they're going to catch me and they're going to put me in military prison. They're going to declare me absent without leave and possibly court-martial me. Why? Because I went off and did my own thing, except instead of what the military commanded. No, when you join the military, yes, they provide everything, your clothing, they provide your meals, they provide your transportation, your finances, your weapons, all of that. But they also provide you with your missions and instructions. And you only continue to get access to their provisions as long as you're following their instructions. Get that. Please get that. This is why the prayer of direction is so vitally important. So vitally important. You only continue to get access to the provisions and the supplies as long as you're obeying the instructions of your commanding officer. And for us, our commander is the Lord God Almighty. And by the Holy Spirit, he speaks, gives us instructions and direction. As long as we follow the directions, increase comes, blessing comes. So we came, God expanded us, took our office out of our house, gave us two office complexes, added a full staff to us, launched the church, everything exploded, things changed. Why? Just the direction of the Lord. Obeying the simple direction of the Lord, even when it looked like it didn't make sense. That's why I'm spending more time on this point, because in our generation, many people just make decisions in life without ever consulting the Lord. What a mistake. They make decisions in life without ever consulting the Lord God Almighty. And he's the one that knows where he's taking you. Why would you not ask? I don't know where I'm going. He knows where I'm going. I want to ask. And as he gives us instructions, by the prayer of direction, and we obey them, get ready for the windows of heaven to open up over you. Get ready for God to do things for you that nobody else could do. Nobody. That's when it becomes a wonder. That's when it becomes a sign. Because we stepped out to pray the prayer of direction and say, Lord, show me what to do next. Show me where to go. Show me what to say. If you're a business person, Lord, show me. Show me what investments to make. Show me how to get more clients. Show me how to sign those contracts. Show me how to go to the next level. Make me a pillar of generosity in the kingdom. If you're in the ministry, Lord, show me what steps to take next in our ministry. Show me all of that. All of that. And God will use you. God will use you to do supernatural things simply by the prayer of direction. In the next video, I'm going to be showing you the next four types of prayer. I don't want to speed through them. I want to get these things into your spirit. It's so vitally important that we understand the purpose and power of prayer. And so in this next video that's coming, I'll go through Numbers 5-8, and we'll break these down for you. Specifically, one of them that I want to illuminate for you and show you something that I never saw before, that I, as I started to study this more in depth, as I was getting into the power and purpose of prayer early in my ministry, the Lord showed me something from his word, and I want to show it to you in this upcoming video. Thanks for joining me again tonight. I really appreciate it. I love you more than you know, and I'm praying for you. And I don't know what it is that, because, you know, I understand you don't share every single prayer request with me or Pastor Carolyn, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you all the time, all the time. And I'm asking God to do supernatural things in and through you. And so if you do have a prayer request that you want me to know about and join my faith with you about, you'll see a link on the screen where you can submit the prayer requests. And you know, you've seen our broadcast before. If we do public prayer broadcasts, we'll bring them all printed. We'll lay our hands on them and ask God to do supernatural things and touch you and turn situations around. So if there is something that you'd like me and Pastor Carol and our team to stand with you about, please submit that prayer request at the link on the screen. And I'm standing with you that this is going to be a year of answered prayer. You know, if the heavens are open over us, then God's pouring out blessings. And those blessings, one of those blessings is going to be answered prayer. And in fact, I started saying it like this, expedited answers to prayer. Expedited answers to prayer. I've got my faith set for that. And I know you do too. I love you. For those of you that are sowing, maybe you're giving your tithes, your offerings, the instructions are on the screen. Thank you for standing with us at Miracle Word Church. We're stepping into the greatest season that we've ever had, as we're getting ready to actually have our 1 year anniversary, which I'm extremely excited about. I can't believe a year's gone by this quickly. It's actually amazing. And I'm looking back, it feels like it flew by, but I'm looking back over these 12 months at miracle after miracle that God has performed for our church. I couldn't be more thankful for the church and for you personally, for being a part. Whether you're a part of our local church or you're a part of the extended family, you're watching every week until you can either move or until you can find a Holy Ghost-filled church near you. I say thank you, and I love you for standing with us, praying, believing, sowing seed. In this month, we have a book that we want to send you, and it's this book by Dr. Bill Winston, As Far As You Can See, Living a Lifestyle of Supernatural Faith. And so for those of you that are sowing seed, those of you that are maybe tonight you're giving your tithes, make sure you claim that, miracleword.com/offer, and grab that. It'll bless you. We were just with Dr. Winston in Miami, and amazing, amazing services. He laid hands on me and Pastor Carolyn, and the gift of faith supernaturally imparted. It's amazing to watch what he's doing. He's 80 years old this year and running like the wind. God's using him still to do supernatural things and will continue to, I know. They're just ramping up. It's amazing. He gave testimonies. They're just going to another level. And that gift of faith is contagious. Supernatural. It's coming upon you as well. So I love you. Thank you for standing with me. And Pastor Carolyn, we'll see you next time in the next video where we cover these next four types of prayer. Have a great night.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.